expectation.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from 12 to 12:30. I come in here with my partner Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. You can also give us a telephone call if you want to at 636-1350. That's 636-1350, and we'll answer your legal question live on the air right now. So give us a call, 636-1350. And I want to give a shout-out to Cliff Branch. Cliff passed away this last weekend. Cliff was on the Oakland Raiders, and he was also on one of my jury trials. And he was a juror, and it was great to have Cliff on a trial of mine. He was a very good juror, and it was funny because, you know, the judge says, say your name and your occupation and where you live, to open it up, and Cliff said, hi, I'm Cliff Branch, and I was a professional football player. And so he still has the record, I think, for the fastest 100-yard dash ever done. So a shout-out to Cliff, and he was a good juror. Okay, today, Rachel, we thought we'd talk a little bit about some aspect of the law, and today you suggested that we talk about traumatic brain injury, mild traumatic brain injury, and Rachel, I gotta say that I think that's probably the most often overlooked injury in the emergency room.
Yes, it most certainly is. It's becoming much more noticed, much more widely publicized since the National Football League took it up as understanding that football players were having these serious injuries. And if you haven't seen the movie Concussion, go ahead and rent it or check it out on demand, or maybe Hulu or Netflix has it. Excellent movie. Well done. Will Smith plays a physician specializing in head injury that comes over here from Africa. And it's really an interesting film and highlights how multiple concussions can really affect a person. I kind of wanted to start first of all, though, before diving deeply into this topic, with the most common question that I get asked across the board is, I've been in a car accident. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And people will call me the day after an accident, within a week or two. And across the board, there are certain things that you need to do when you're in an accident. First of all, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be, adrenaline pumping. You may not function quite normally right at the scene. Boom. What you need to do is make sure that you get the other driver's insurance information and their driver's license. You can take pictures with your cell phone. That's fine. You want to take photos of the car, the damage to the cars. That's helpful if you can manage it. If you can get somebody else to do it, that might even be better. But be really careful right off the bat, because you're probably more injured than you think you are. And then within the first days and weeks, you need to go to your doctors, have them look you over, have them tell you what you need to be doing. You probably hurt quite a bit within those first few days and weeks. And a lot of people go, well, what do I do? Well, I'm your lawyer, not your doctor. So go to your doctor, follow up with your doctor, tell them what's wrong, and see if there's something they can do. And get the help that you need right off the bat. We have a question from Santa Rosa. Okay, you're on the air. What's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering what progress has been made in detecting the CTE in people now that it's been around for so many decades.
Yes.
There are those of us that weren't professional football players that still had 7 concussions by the time we were 21 years old, either due to abuse, rambunctiousness, or sports activities.
Yes.
And so what's going on?
Yes, and CTE is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and that is a condition that comes with multiple concussions over time. And I'm glad you addressed that, because that is not something that only happens to professional athletes. It can happen to anybody who gets multiple concussions. I had a client once who, and I know people make jokes about it, but literally had been dropped on her head as a child a few times. And then as she got older, she was, you know, not playing professional sports, but she would do kayaking. She got hit in the head with a kayak. Another time, whitewater rafting, she got her head hit against a rock. So these things happen, and progressively the science is showing that each concussion you have is going to make your head more susceptible to later injury, and your symptoms are likely to be more pronounced. In terms of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the science is still fairly young. And of course, the main problems with studying that in particular is that you can't study it until the person is dead. You can't cut open a person's brain and take slices of it. I mean, you can have MRIs, and now we're starting to see some functional MRIs and different kinds of scans that are able to look at these more closely now than in the past, but it's still fairly expensive technology, which is why we're relying on the NFL, who has more money than anybody, to actually do the studies on this, share the science with us. And that's why I recommend, if you have, you know, an extra evening, you know, go ahead and watch the movie Concussion, because it does talk about that and about some of the studies they started doing on professional football players. And you notice you don't hear about it in terms of professional boxers, and I think a lot of that is because if you're into that kind of a sport and you start complaining about your head injuries, and everybody knows what happened to Muhammad Ali, but you know, you lose your livelihood. You aren't able to box anymore. We've seen in the last few years, we're starting to see football players that say, you know what, I'm out. I'm not going to go down this road. I quit. We had a 49er
linebacker.
We had a 49er just flat out say, I'm not doing this. He took Patrick Reed's spot, and I've forgotten his name right at the moment, but he bailed. And so, yes, the science is here. It's coming. It's becoming a little bit more mainstream. And part of why I want to talk about this today is because I get magazines every month from different organizations that I'm a member of. And one of the magazines I got this month was all about traumatic brain injury from the lawyer's perspective. And I read this magazine, and I was fairly disgusted by the end of it, because it was really not helpful at all. I was just like, come on, man.
I have to tell you, I want to brag about Rachel. Not only does she have a degree in psychology, but she's made it her her avocation to study the brain and some of the effects post auto accident that people can suffer. And she is actually specialized in this area of the law, and she's actually attended many seminars about traumatic brain injury and mild traumatic brain injury. You know, when I first started practicing law, I got to tell you, the experts were all saying, oh, you have to have a concussion. Well, you need to be knocked out. No, you don't. And that evolved into this concept of then you needed to have an amnestic event. That is, you had to have a period of amnesia. No, you don't. Now the science is that you need to be dazed and confused. And the reason we know that is because I'm a football player. I know I was a football player. And I got to tell you, Steve Young played the whole game calling plays, and he was concussed in the first quarter. And We know this from Brandon Belt, who was running around the bases before the game and fell down, and he played the whole game at first base for the Giants.
And we flat out saw it in Alex Smith when he was quarterback of the 49ers and he got hit. And, you know, the good old boys used to call it, had your bell rung. But, man, you can see it. Like, the eyes aren't quite focusing. And he came walking off the field and the camera got a shot of his face, and I was just like, man, that's bad. And what they gave him is like 2 weeks off to recover. And what we're learning is 2 weeks is probably not enough. And sometimes that brain injury can actually worsen within those first few weeks. You'll feel the effects more a couple weeks later, maybe, than you do right out front. And a lot of that is because at first you may be suffering a lot of bodily pain that tends to take over and take precedence in our minds. So I hope that answered your question. I kind of went off Cliff in Santa Rosa. Did I answer your question? Oh, we've hung up on you. Thank you for your question, Cliff. That was right on point. And CTE is a huge, huge issue. We're seeing it more and more in sports. But no, you do not have to be an athlete to suffer from concussions. If you're in a domestic violence situation, you're going to, sometimes get concussions from that. It doesn't require a blow to the head. You do not have to hit your head. Science has shown very, very clearly, and it started, I think, with people, the increased awareness with shaken baby syndrome. You can shake the baby and the brain wobbles back and forth inside your skull, and that causes axonal shearing, which is the death of some of the neurons in your brain, so that certain parts of your brain firing can't communicate with other parts, or bruising of the brain that will cause a minor swelling that can cause inability for the different areas of the brain to function. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, which is a big subject, and the science is improving, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more.
If you've been in an auto accident, you ought to give us a call, because bottom line is, I'm a former insurance defense attorney, so I know insurance companies from the inside out. Rachel has taken it upon herself to study this area of the law and study this concept of mild traumatic brain injury. So if you've been in an auto accident, give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly 2 decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Deal yourself a career at Grayton. Enroll in our free Blackjack Dealer School. Meet Simon, table game supervisor.
I started off as a student in the dealer school, and 5 years later, I'm supervising.
Join the team. Earn $20 per hour or more with tips. Enroll in Blackjack Dealer School today. Space is limited, so sign up at GraytonResortCasino.com.
Hi, this is Scott Barbieri with Wine Spectrum in Santa Rosa. I recently had a personal injury case handled by Charlie Cochran and his legal team. Charlie and his team kept me informed of my case as it went through litigation. And most important, they return your phone calls. My case successfully settled without trial. If you've been involved in an auto accident, call Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson at 707 844-9006.
Call the legal team of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison today.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today, we're talking about mild traumatic brain injury, and it's kind of a specialty of yours, Rachel. I mean, I got to say that we've actually had some great results over the years for people recovering from insurance companies on this mild traumatic brain injury because it's real. I mean, the fact is people that are in auto accidents a lot of times have a mild traumatic brain injury, and sometimes they don't even know it.
Most of the time they don't even know it. The vast majority of the time you won't know. You as the person suffering from the head injury will not understand that you have one, and it's usually going to be the people around you, your loved ones, your spouse, significant other, your children, brothers, sisters, family, friends. Those are the ones that are going to notice it. And you know, when I started practicing law almost 20 years ago now, I was into this from the get-go, and back then there was very little science on it. I happened to meet some people that were kind of up on it and studying it, and so I got really interested really early on in my practice, and it's one of the areas that I have to admit I get very nerdy about, and it's a kind of funny to watch me get all fired up about it. It's a fascinating topic, and different people deal with it differently, and by people I mean different people in different professions. You can have sports medicine doctors that will deal with it in one way. You can have neurologists that will deal with it another way, and your neuropsychologists will deal with it usually in conjunction with the neurologist. And it can be just a fascinating process to figure out what part of your brain has been damaged, what part is not firing correctly, and then to move on to a behavioral psychologist or a doctorate in neuropsychology who can actually help you with changing your behaviors to accommodate the problem. And it's really interesting in that we're finding that a lot of times the injury, even if you suffer a blow to the head, is not to the part of the brain that has actually been hit. A lot of times, let's say, for example, you're in a back seat and you get in an accident and you hit the front of your head, you hit your forehead on the seat back in front of you, for example. A lot of times the damage to your brain will be in the back, not to the front. And a lot of times that's because your head moves forward, or a lot of times both, and that's the coup contra coup, hit and then reverse hit, where you hit the front of your head and that gets bruised, and then as your head whips back, it slashes back, and you hit the back of your head and that gets bruised. And then there are also pituitary gland issues that arise in this arena as well, but I think I'll save you the intricate board that can result from a long, lengthy, drawn-out discussion of the pituitary gland. But it is really interesting to see they do have studies that show where the brain activity is and where it is not after this happens. They can't do it for everybody. Obviously, it's a very expensive machine that can take these kind of films, but they are out there and they're fascinating to look at. And a head injury, if you have a concussion, by definition, that is a head injury. They're the same thing. Head injury equals concussion. Concussion equals head injury. And it takes a lot less force than believed before. Auto accidents are actually the number one cause of concussions in the United States. Sports injuries follow that up as a second, but auto accidents are the number one cause of head injury. And that is often missed in an emergency room, because in the emergency room, they're looking for near-death experiences, blood squirting in slow motion kind of stuff. So they're looking to patch you up and get it to where you can make it to the next doctor. And a lot of these head injuries, there's not a darn thing you can do about it. So they may not help you in the emergency room. They may be able to diagnose you with a concussion. They may take you in for a CT scan and or an ultrasound and or an MRI to see if there's any severe bleeding on the brain that would actually cause coma or death. Brain injuries are divided into mild, moderate, and severe. Mild means you're still functioning. You're still able to get up and walk around and talk. And, you know, you can probably drive your car and go to work. But there are varying degrees of that. The moderate is you're not functioning very well at all. You're still kind of functioning, but you're not really there. And then severe, of course, is going to be you're in a coma and you're dying. And of course, we don't see a lot of those, because usually if you get a severe head trauma in a car accident, most of the time you're going to die. So you see the mild ones most often.
We've had people, for example, that would walk into a room intending to go to the refrigerator and instead go to the oven.
Well, and, you know, there's a certain amount of that we all do every day. We forget our keys, we forget our sunglasses, we forget our wallet, whatever it is we forget. You know, you go into a room, you don't remember what it is that you went there for. We all have some of that. But with a person who has an actual head trauma type injury, it's a frequent occurrence, and it gets to be pervasive. And you also will see mood swings, and those mood swings can really be hard on a relationship. Ladies tend to resort more to tears. Men tend to resort to anger. I actually had one client that I could not represent him. His anger was just so forcible that I could not handle it. And that's the only time I've ever had that happen in my almost 20 years of practice. I had to reject a client because I just could not handle his anger issues. I pointed him in the right direction to get the right treatment he needed, but I could not handle his case because his anger was palpable. And his poor girlfriend of 25 years was begging me, please, you've got to do something. I'm like, well, get him to the right doctors.
Yeah. No, I had the guy that dropped the spear gun, and the spear gun went into his nose and up through his brain, and he would be standing at the street light, and somebody standing next to him, and he'd say, what are you looking at? You know, stuff like that. I mean, just anger outbursts
or crying jags, and depression goes hand in hand.
Highly emotional people.
Yeah. And depression does go hand in hand with these head injuries. I would like to say 100%, but that's really stretching it. But most people that have head injury at some point fall into some sort of a depression. And when you're in an auto accident situation, the attorneys on the other side are going to blame all of your problems on depression rather than the other way around. They're going to blame stressors in your life. They're going to, you know, really go after every little tiny thing that could have possibly caused you stress within the last 10 years and say that that's the cause.
A troublesome childhood.
Yeah, I've had that one. Oh, well, the client who was dropped on her head as a child. I mean, it sounds funny because it's a joke. It's not funny at all, because she was, and that did contribute, but she was functioning before and not functioning as well after. And like I said, the guy's girlfriend of 25 years was like, I can't handle him. We've had couples come in where they're ready to get a divorce because they can't handle the emotionality of the other one. Like, where the depression comes on, and then your personal hygiene may fall apart. You're not showering and washing your hair.
You've seen one client, and I saw the spouse, and then we traded. I remember that.
We were trying to save a marriage at that point.
We were trying to figure out how come this lady was off her rocker. And the bottom line is it was because she had suffered a mild traumatic brain injury in the accident.
And the defense, they hire defense doctors to examine you and they say, oh, you were tired. You know, there's nothing really wrong with you. You made it up, somatoform disorder. So they throw all these arguments at you that are just really quite silly if you know anything about the science and how, you know, you can't fake this kind of thing. It's a very real thing and often goes hand in hand also with post-traumatic stress disorder, so it shouldn't be confused because they each require a different kind of a treatment, and treatment for one will not help the other. So when you have suffered something like this and it's somebody else's fault, you need to be able to get the treatment. You need to get yourself as much better as you possibly can, because studies do show also that if it's a one-time occurrence, that you're probably going to come out of it okay and probably sooner rather than later. If you've had multiple concussions, again, it's going to be a little bit bleaker of an outlook, but still, most of the time you're going to get better. There will be improvement over the first 6 months, certainly over the first year. And then at some point, they're finding now, it used to be that there was the miserable minority of 12% to maybe 15% that never got better. They're finding that that is actually more than was previously reported. So the reports are still coming in. The science is still coming on, especially as our callers mentioned, with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
We're talking today about mild traumatic brain injury, particularly after an auto accident. So if you've been in an auto accident, give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.